Noah Evans, and I am the people's champion. Can you imagine if that was like, if that was actually the intro? That would be hilarious. I should get Morgan Freeman to just come on and do the intro like that. I would never change it, ever, unless James Earl Jones did it. Then that would be fantastic. Anyways, what's up, guys? It's your host, Josh Evans, the creator and owner of Comics Inspire and Good on the Go. I am fresh from WonderCon, super amped up and excited. Today's movie plug of the week will be Whiplash. It's an older movie. I think it's a couple years old, but man, as far as the story and the journey of being an artist and what it takes to just to be committed to this thing that you love, few movies have captured it as well as that, and the grittiness of it too. Like, it doesn't over romanticize it. Anyways, I'm not gonna spoil it for you guys. Watch it, Whiplash. Also, want to add another piece here, my read of the week. And I recently finished reading Ready Player One, and oh my gosh, it was amazing. So obviously I read it in anticipation of the upcoming Ready Player One film, because I was like, oh, it's a book. Let me go ahead and read it so I can go into the movie like knowing what's going on, what this world is. And the book is absolutely fantastic. It's a complete creative education on pop culture from like the 50s till now, but it doesn't feel like that. Like, the educational parts are just, it's sewn in, but the story is so thick and engrossing. And it's a little similar to The Matrix. Imagine actually if The Matrix was optional. That's kind of what Ready Player One is. So instead of like you being forced into the Matrix and you don't know that you're in it, everyone knows that this computer-generated world is called the Oasis. They know that it's computer-generated. They know that it's not real. But it's like the only thing to do in this future where not a lot of great, exciting things are happening. So they go into this world. They put on their goggles and their gloves, and they go into this world, and they lead these digital lives. And then, obviously, you know, stakes raise. And it's very, very fantastic. So can't recommend it enough. Ready Player One, Whiplash. All right, let's get into today's episode. The art thought of the day. So first, let me share this. There's an author by the name of Joseph Campbell. You may have heard of him. He's a renowned just philosopher and writer who has studied story and mythology across cultures and people groups and tribes. One of his more famous books is The Hero with a Thousand Faces, which I believe should be mandatory reading for anybody trying to get in the game of writing and storytelling, whether it's for comics or movies or whatever, because it breaks down so much. Like, he did so much research. It's such an amazing read, which was also surprisingly spiritual, but we can talk about that at a different time. So he has a quote. His name is Joseph Campbell. He has a quote, and the quote goes, "Love is the pain of being truly alive." Yeah, you can feel we're going deep today. Love is the pain of being truly alive, insinuating the fact that if you are not truly alive, if you are not allowing yourself to be tuned in and alert to all of the painful contradictions of how there's good things happening and bad things happening. There's fifth grade kids graduating from classes with honors. There's fifth grade kids being kidnapped and pillaged and taken to other places. There are families who come together, families who break apart, love relationships that last decades and decades and decades, and love relationships that are just serial tragedies one after the other. If you are not allowing yourself to be plugged into all of it, you miss out on the ability to truly love anyone, to truly love the world, to be able to share your love. Because, of course, you will not strike a match if you are not open about the fact that it is dark, right? You only strike the match because the room is dark. But if you are disconnected from the fact that the room is dark, you won't strike the match. As a matter of fact, if you're disconnected from the fact that the room is dark, you won't know when to strike the match because you're disconnected. If you're disconnected from the hate and the darkness of the world, you won't know when is the appropriate time to love. You won't be able to bring the love that is needed because you're disconnected. So that doesn't mean attach yourself to it. It doesn't mean develop a morbid obsession with darkness and like and everything macabre. Like, you don't have to constantly bombard your systems with it. You don't have to let it inundate your mind and your emotions. But at the same time, being truly alive means you live in the balance. You live in that right on the line between everything about the world is wonderful and everything about the world is terrible, right in that spot where you are aware and truly alive of both sides. That is what love is, because love is courageous. And so the art thought of the day is to piggyback off of that. If love is the pain of being truly alive, then art is the expression of that love. I won't run away with this, but I do want to say, do not be ashamed of any part of your story. Do not shy away from any experience that you have had, because love is the pain of being truly alive, and art is the expression of that love. So your reaction, like using an extreme example, if you were molested, obviously that is terrible and horrible. But if it birthed this thing in you, right, to make sure nobody is ever molested again, to make sure that there's a safe haven for people who are molested. And so you write this story, or you tell, you know, you create a movie or a short film or whatever. You have some artistic expression. You write a song about it. You do a poem, like you dance, you start cooking, and your cooking proceeds are to feed the kids who come to your facility because they are on the run from being molested. Like, whatever your artistic expression, it's an expression of that love. So don't shy away from any part of who you are. I know it's very taboo, particularly in American culture, to be caught, as it were, with your pants down, to be caught in the midst of a struggle or something negative. This is a society that will crucify you for anything, crucify you for any imperfections, because people don't want us to be good. They don't want us to be heroes. They need us to embody everything good that they themselves are afraid to encounter within their own being. Remember, good is the part of the story we all have in common, but everyone doesn't take the time to access it. And to the degree that people will not access their part of the good that we all have in common, it was what they will overproject on anyone else who is trying to access that good. And anytime there's a misstep or a blemish or something negative comes up, they will overly lash out. They will overly crucify that person, because it's not really about that person. They're really lashing out at themselves, because they know deep down that they have not done their part to access their good. That was for free. That wasn't even in the notes. And so art is the expression of the love pain of being on that line. So don't shy away from your story. Don't shy away from the darkness. Even if your darkness doesn't lead you to tell a dark story, don't shy away from it. Some darkness creates dark stories. Other darknesses create light stories, but don't shy away from it. You are fully equipped. Whenever someone says that you have everything inside of you that you need already, that's what it means. You are fully charged and brimming over with story, and it's your story. Love is the pain of being truly alive, and art is the expression of that love. So don't shy away from your story, because it's necessary. All right. So if any of you guys have been following me on social media at Josh Evans Go, shameless self-plug. Can you self-plug on your own podcast? That's like a paradox, whatever. Anyways, so if you've been following me, you know that I went to WonderCon this past weekend, and I had an absolute blast. So for those of you who are like, oh, what is this WonderCon of which you speak? So years ago, when comic book culture was beginning to grow and swell, they started these things called a comic book convention, which obviously eventually got shortened to Comic-Con. The first one was in the basement of a hotel. There was only like 300 people who came. And it was the same basic format. You know, you had some writers who were there. You could buy merchandise. There was like a sales floor. And like, it was really cool. And it was pretty much, in those days, like being a geek or nerd is real popular today, but it wasn't always. And so in those days, it was like, oh, we're gonna go meet with our people. And then from there, it blew up. So that's Comic-Con. That eventually went to San Diego, which is the Comic-Con. When someone says Comic-Con, they're talking about San Diego Comic-Con. What I went to was WonderCon in Anaheim, which actually originally started out in Oakland, believe it or not. It started out in Oakland in 1987, and these five guys, they worked at comic book stores, and they wanted to do kind of like a locally based version of Comic-Con because everyone can't go to San Diego, but they still wanted to celebrate it. And so when they were doing that, they put it together and they called it the Wonderful World of Comics Convention. Obviously, that's a mouthful, so that eventually got shortened to WonderCon instead of the Wonderful World of Comics Convention. That got shortened to WonderCon, and then they did it for like a few years, and then about 15 years in or so, they realized that this is a lot of work to maintain it and like keep it at the quality because it was growing and people were doing it. So they actually approached Comic-Con, like the main one, the nonprofit, and Comic-Con was like, oh, you guys have something awesome. So they kind of like took it into the fold, moved it to San Francisco, but the facility there was undergoing construction. So then the next year, they ended up moving it to Anaheim, the Anaheim Convention Center in 2003, and that's where it's been ever since. So little history for you there. And so I went to WonderCon, and this was my first WonderCon. Some of you may have heard me talk about before. Last year was my first Comic-Con. I haven't gone to many cons over the years just because money never lined up, and I just didn't go. My main thing was always, if I had money, I was always trying to get to Celebration, which was, you know, Star Wars Celebration. So that's what I did. And so last year was Comic-Con. This year was my first time going to WonderCon. And when I was there with my friends, like after the first day, we went to like a local Hilton with a bunch of other people who went to Comic-Con to partake of the Blessed Sacrament. And I was just like, it's amazing. It's amazing that there's all these nerds. Basically, all these nerds, all these geeks here at this hotel, here for this event, who are currently at this hotel, like everyone's walking around eating and drinking. But you know, if you go into a typical like drink scene, it's like, it's just normal people or business people or like super party goers or just, you know, it's all the other in this case. And to look around and know like, yo, everyone here has seen Batman the Animated Series. Everyone here knows that Dragon Ball GT is no longer part of the Dragon Ball canon. Like, it was crazy. And I turned to my friend. I was like, isn't this nuts? Like, who would have ever thought that this would exist, that there would be a convention and that it would be cool and that it would bring revenue to the city. So now it's welcome and that they would all be in here just, like I said, partaking of the Blessed Sacrament. Like, who knew? Who knew? And it's more than... I know some people will say, oh, well, it's just capitalism, like it's a business model and blah, 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 blah. But the thing about capitalism is you have to have something to capitalize, first of all, and you have to have someone to capitalize on. Ergo, if we did not care about comics or anything, if we didn't care about superheroes, if we didn't care about the fact that, you know, Vegeta couldn't go Super Saiyan 4 on his own, which is complete crap, if we didn't care about any of that, they wouldn't be able to have this capitalistic approach. So it's more than just business models, more than just companies trying to make a buck. Obviously, they are. Companies are absolutely trying to make a buck, several thousands of bucks, but it really comes back to the fans. It comes back to us. It comes back to the geeks and the nerds and the ones who are like all wrapped up in this world. And my mind was just, it's blown. Like I've been to cons before. Actually, like I said, like I went to Comic-Con last year. I also went to Stan Lee's Comic-Con that he does in Los Angeles. So I've been to cons. I've been to like three different Star Wars celebrations. So like I'm familiar with the whole thing. And for whatever reason, this particular time, I was amazed. I'm standing with my group of friends who I went there with. I'm just looking around. I'm like, this is utterly amazing. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? One of my favorite things to do while I was with my friends, every time, like, if we would separate, like, I'd go to a room and come back out, I'd come back and be like, what's up, nerds? Like, but it was fun. Like, it's not even an insult to be able to say, what's up, nerds, and it's not an insult. Like, it was just, it was a blast. It was a whole lot of fun. And, yeah, it was great. This was the most fun at a con I've ever had, which was interesting because initially I wasn't going to go. I know. Mr. Josh, why weren't you going to go to WonderCon? Honestly, can I keep it 100 with you guys? I didn't care. I really did. I knew it was coming up, but it was just like, what's the point? Like, you've gone to one con, you've gone to the mall, there's panels, there's the sales floor, there's cosplay, which cosplay is very cool. You guys know I have friends who are cosplay. But it's like, what's the point? Like, I'm gonna spend money to go spend money. Like, what's the point? And then, you know, being completely transparent, you know, there's a little bit of saltiness. It's like, I would really love to be on a panel. It's not even salty. Let me correct that. I'm not salty that I'm not on panels, but it's a great desire to be on panels at these cons and be able to talk and, like, share insight. Like, I would love to do a Comics Inspire, like, live podcast at a con or be on any of the discussions that happen. So it's like, okay, I'm not going there to be on a panel. Like, pretty much it's all the same and the panels differ. It's not always great panels to go to. So it's just like, I just got to the point where it's like, okay, I'm not going to go to this one. If I go to a con this year, it'll be Comic-Con. I'll make sure I go to the big one because that's where all the major stuff happens because it's big. Don't have to worry about Celebration this year because it's next year. And so one of my friends hits me up. He's like, yo, I got a couple comp passes. Like, I can make sure that you are able to go if you want to go. And I was like, oh, well, if we're talking for free, then maybe I will do that. If we're talking like I don't got to pay for the pass, really I just had to pay to get down there, the transportation, because one of my other friends was already staying down there. And I was like, yeah. So one friend said, hey, you want to go? I got you a pass. You can go. Other friend was like, hey, if you do go, let me know. I'm staying at a hotel. You can stay with me. I was like, okay. So at this point, it just doesn't make sense not to go. So I went. It also helped. I had two friends who were on two different panels. So I had one friend, Harley Salbaca. Her name is Miss Harley R on Instagram. You can go ahead and follow her because she is awesome. She used to be the manager at the comic store that I go to, Blast Off Comics. And so she was on a panel with a lot of other people who either owned comic book stores or worked in them. And they were just talking about what running a comic book store is like, what the customers are like, what Free Comic Book Day is like. And so, but this is like her first time on a panel. She was super juiced. And so once I decided I was going, I was like, dude, I'm definitely going to make your panel. One of my other friends, her name is Dani Fernandez, at Miss Dani Fernandez on Twitter and Instagram, because she too is awesome. She was doing a panel the next day called Comics on Comics because she's a comedian. And so there was a panel of comedians who were giving their take on comics. So I was like, okay, worst case scenario, like I just go down there, I make sure I support my friends, and then I'll just kind of make up what to do in the middle because I had to come back Sunday morning. So I'm going there. I get there in time. I leave work. I get there in time to catch Harley's panel. And like I'm taking pictures and I'm listening. She did a really good job. And it was awesome. And so then afterwards, like me and her and like a few of our friends, we met up and we went and hung out. I was like, okay, this is cool. This is great. Went out to, like I said, to partake of the Blessed Sacrament. And then we went to get something to eat because it was nighttime. And we went back to the hotel, did some more, you know, talking about nerd stuff. And then everyone went to bed. This was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And so then the next day, so Harley and I were in a room and then everyone else was in another room. So we went, that sounds weird. We were sleeping in separate beds. So we wake up and it's just like, so I woke up at 6:30 and she was already awake. She's like, do you want to get something to eat? I was like, bet. So like we walked down to like a little donut shop called Granny's Donuts, which I think is fantastic. We got donuts and like a little breakfast food, came back, and then we were watching a Roseanne marathon of all things. Never watched that much Roseanne in my life. Never really cared for it. But, you know, it was nice. It was different. And apparently Roseanne's coming back. And they are not paying me to make this advertisement. So like we did that. And so like we were hanging out and we were talking about, you know, geek stuff and nerd stuff, talking about her panel, talking about books that we have read, that we are reading. I had already read Ready Player One, so we're talking about that. Then everyone else begins to wake up. We get together, we walk back down to the convention center. So mind you, Danny's panel, this is Saturday, Danny's panel isn't until 6:30 at night. And we got there at maybe like 11:30, and I'd already looked through all the panels that were happening, and there was none that I really wanted to go to. So I'm like, this is probably going to be a boring day. So we walked around, the group of us, we were walking through the sales floor, just, you know, making jokes, looking at, we're making jokes amongst ourselves. We're marveling at the creator stuff, like the jewelry and the paintings and the even the creator-owned comic books. Like, this is amazing. This is super cool. Ran into an author I know, David Walker, who writes for Superb, which is one of the best titles coming out of the Lion Forge. You guys know I plugged the mess out of Lion Forge, so I ran into David Walker. Actually, my homeboy who was with me, he ended up getting two trades from them. He got the Noble trade and he got the Superb trade because I was like, dude, this story, like these, they're telling great stories over here. So he picked up a couple trades, got it signed, got one of them signed by David Walker. And so, you know, we're doing the thing. I stopped by the Niobe booth or the Stranger Things, the Stranger Comics booth. Sorry, not Stranger Things. Stopped by the Stranger Comics booth where to talk to my guy, Sev. His name is Sebastian, and he created this character called Niobe, She Is Life, which is in partnership and co-written by Amanda Stenberg. If you're wondering who that is, she is the one who played Rue in Hunger Games. And so, like, I've met him before. Like, we're friends. He's got, like, a booth. And Viola Davis actually has read the Niobe story, like the Niobe trade, and she's like super behind it. So they're like, you know, they're trying to take things to the next level. So I stopped by to say hi to them. I think one of my friends bought a trade. He bought like three things from Sebastian's table. And it's like, it was just cool. I slid through the DC booth to say hi to my people over there because I know some people in the DC camp. And so like, it was fun. It's like, okay, this is cool. And then while we were walking around, we ran into Amanda, who is the current manager at Blastoff. And I think her social media on Instagram is @the_Amanda_Panda. That sounds like I was rapping. @the_Amanda_Panda. So we ran into her. And so Harley and Amanda, there was a panel they wanted to go to that none of us really wanted to go to. So they left. So now it's us four guys walking around, doing the things, talking to each other, you know, talking crap to each other, talking about geek stuff with each other. Each of us kind of like, you know, something would catch one of our eye and we'd wait while that person went and talked to the person or looked at the product or whatever. And so we're like walking and I'm like, I'm having fun. And then there came this moment, right? There came this moment where I felt like all my senses were out on the floor all around me. And I felt like they all came rushing back into my body in this state of hyper awareness. And I was just like, I'm over it. Like, I understand how the sales floor works. There's no panels that I want to go to. I'm not here to be on a panel. I'm not really going to buy anything. Like, I don't know. I don't know if you've ever had this moment regarding something that you are passionate about or something you have studied where you kind of see through the magic, like you can hear through the spells of an environment. That happens to me at Disneyland sometimes. Like I love Disneyland. Go to Disneyland, have a blast. But at least twice while I'm walking around Disneyland, I feel removed from it all. And it's like, I understand how this works. I understand how the magic is contrived. Like I get it. And then like I go back in. And so I had this same, that's weird. There's a bird like right outside my window. Anyways, I had this moment on the floor at WonderCon where it's like, I understand how the magic of this whole thing works and I get it and I'm over it. Like, this isn't going to be fun. Like, there's another 10 hours. What am I going to do? And so I had the opportunity to stay in that spot and have a lousy time or just see what the day held. So I continued hanging out with my friends, and needless to say, I forgot all about that sentiment because we were having so much fun. And it wasn't until maybe 5 or 6 hours later, like right before, it was a little more than 5 or 6 hours later, but it wasn't until about an hour before I had to go to Danny's panel that I realized, oh, I did not come here for the magic per se. Like, I didn't come here necessarily for the con or to hopefully run into an artist or to hopefully run into a writer or to buy a particular collectible. Like, I didn't come for regular con stuff. I came for friends. That was why I showed up. I went there for friend moments. I had another friend who's a cosplayer at Jack's Cosplay. He showed up in his Batman cosplay. I ran into another friend at Sylvia Slay's who did a Proxima Midnight cosplay one day and then Hippolyta the next day. Like, I was there for friends. Obviously, I went to support Harley. I went to support Danny. I was with my four homeboys like the whole entire day. Like, I was there for friends. Case in point. So I post that, you know, one of my posts on Instagram, like, hey, walking around WonderCon with the crew. And one of my friends is like, oh, I'm right next door. So I'm thinking he means he's at Disneyland. This dude was literally at the hotel right next to the Anaheim Convention Center. And this is one of my friends who I haven't seen him in like 3 years. And it's one of those things where, like, even though you live kind of like within 30 minutes of somebody, you're both adulting, and so you don't see each other. And so I haven't seen him in like 3 years. He's like, no, I'm right next door at a conference. I was like, oh, man. And so I had some downtime before Danny's thing. So I was like, dude, I'm going to come see you. So I went to see him. We caught up for about 15, 20 minutes, talked, laughed, did the whole thing. And that reinforced why I was there. It's like, I'm here for friendship. And then it dawned on me. Maybe I was not alone in that. Maybe I wasn't the only one who was here for friendship. Maybe there is something that people go to these cons for that is beneath the surface of what it looks like. Maybe it's more than meeting artists. Maybe it's more than cosplay. Maybe it's more than just a vacation to get away. Maybe it's more. It's not the type of more that pushes those things away. It's the kind of more that pulls all those things together, like having a last name, right? If you have a really big family, which technically we all have really big families, regardless of whether it's immediate siblings or we have to stretch out through the generations. But if you have a really big family, you have all these distinct personalities, all these different people with different likes, different temperaments, sometimes even different skin complexions and tones, all these different people within the same family, but there is a moreness, and that moreness is the last name. It's the DNA coursing through everyone, which says, even though we are all different, we're all one. Even though we're all different, we're still the same. We're going to take a quick piggyback right here, which, yes. So so there is a verse in the Bible. Again, follow me here. You don't have to be religious. You don't even have to be Christian to capture what this is. But there's a verse. It's in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And it says this, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Oh, I'm excited. I'm going to read it again. "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Okay, in church culture, the word for the coming together is congregation, and it comes from the Latin word congregare, which means to collect as into a flock. What is the point of a con if not to bring people together, to stir each other up to love and good works, where anybody can cosplay as anything, where all the little weird stuff that you like to read, that you like to watch, this offshoot anime that nobody else knows about, but like you and maybe five other people, where you can come here and still be welcome, where even if you think it looks weird, where a dude can cosplay as Metal Bikini Leia and a woman can cosplay as Joker, and it's all good. It's all good. We're all here to stir one another up to love and good works, where there are different organizations like the 501st, which is this elite Star Wars group of people who get together and they dress up as stormtroopers and they do charity runs. They do charity drives. They make appearances for children. Like, is this not what the cons are for? Are we not here for more than just the gaudy stuff, just the shiny stuff? I would submit to you that the actual reason we want stories to be good, The reason why we want our movies not to suck, the reason why we want our comic books to be tight and to look right and for the story to be awesome, the reason why we want our cartoons to not just be enough to get by, to not have crappy animation, the reason why we want our stories to be on point is because it gives us the opportunity to come together in the best of ways. It's easy to get together and talk negatively about something. That is incredibly, incredibly easy. But how much more pleasurable is it to be able to get together with someone, with a group of people, with tons and hundreds and thousands of people, and say, yo, let's talk about this thing that we all love, this thing that was done well, that was executed brilliantly, this thing that, even though it had flaws, was still amazing. Because what we really want, what we really want, is that connection, right? Good is the part of the story we all have in common, which means that we are designed to share it together at times. I would also submit to you that part of the problem, one of the things that humanity suffers from most, is that we don't get together enough to share the good. We have been tricked and bamboozled and misled and misguided and all those other words into being fascinated with the aspects of life that are terrible, and into being expectant of something awful to happen, we've been tricked into slavery. Let's just go all the way there. We've been tricked into slavery because when you're a slave, it's not just that you're a slave physically, you're a slave mentally. You don't even think about freedom, right? Because where your mind goes, your energy goes, and that's where your will is going to go, and eventually you're going to act on it. So the part of being a slave is you don't think about freedom. All manner of slavery tactics are designed to keep your thoughts out of the freedom space, out of the freedom bubble. We can't have you thinking free thoughts, because then you will not be a slave. It always starts in your mind. This is what we've been tricked into. This is what we've been led into with everything, and particularly with the cons. We've been tricked into thinking that because we take pleasure in a thing, that's the reason why we're gathered. Oh my God, we've been tricked into thinking that because, oh, I enjoy the comics and I enjoy going to be able to buy stuff and picking out the collectibles and eating this weird food with all these people, and I enjoy the cosplay. We enjoy all those things, and that's good. It brings us pleasure, and that's good. Those are all very good things. Hear me, I'm not taking anything away from that. We do gather so we can do those things. We gather so we can share these moments, share these experiences, but at the same time, unless it's grounded in something, it'll all float away. It's meaningless unless it's grounded in something. And the grounding is that we're actually there to congregate. We are there to stir up one another and encourage each other in love and good works. This is why we're here. That's why I was there, that's what I discovered. And once I discovered that, it made everything more fun. It made going to the panels more fun. It made walking around the sales floor more fun, because I was there. Distinction. I wasn't there for those things. I was there because of those things, right? When you are there for something, when you're there for something, if that thing is not there, then you're disconnected and you leave. If you're there because of something, whether or not that thing is there, whether or not the thing is good, has no effect upon whether you stay or whether you plug in, because the thing that you're there for is still in place. I was there for the friendship, but I was there because of the con. So even though the con was something very familiar and there wasn't a lot of panels I wanted to go to, it did not affect my fun, because I was there for the friendship. I was there for the congregare, to be collected into the flock. I was there to be a part of a group of people who were coming together to stir one another up and encourage each other in love and good works. If you've ever been to a con, body shaming is not allowed, no matter what. If you've ever been to a con, you will see there are people in wheelchairs, there are children, there are old people, there are young people, there are middle-aged people, there are people who have been geeks and nerds for years, there are people who have never seen a single episode of Static Shock. Like, you get the full range, and the rule, the unspoken rule, is that you can't shame anybody. We're all here for the same thing. Congregare, the Latin word, to be collected into a flock, to stir one another up and encourage them into love and good works. We are there for church. Church culture is embedded in all of our hearts. This has nothing to do with any church you've been to. This has nothing to do with any church organization that has abused their power and not acted how they're supposed to act. Just because something does not live up to what it's supposed to be does not dictate that what it's supposed to be is no longer valuable or of worth. Church culture is a part of our DNA. It's in our soul. We have this drive to be able to come around people, to be collected into a flock, to talk about the good that we have in common, to share in this goodness, and to stir one another up and encourage each other to love and good works, because there is enough darkness in the world, right? Going back to love is the pain of being fully alive. When you live in that love space, you know there's enough darkness, there's enough pain in the world, and that we will encounter in our lives without having to get together and do the same thing. We are super teams. Super teams. The congregare, the church. This is what we're here for, because good is the part of the story we all have in common. And Comic Cons are the places where geeks and nerds get together to share the good that we all have in common. Happy trails, friends. Ask better questions, do interesting things, live your best story possible. I'll see you next time. Thank you guys for tuning in. Once again, this is your host, Joshua Evans. Make sure you click subscribe so that you don't miss any of our future episodes. And if you want to know where I'm going to be, what I'm thinking, what I'm talking about, where I'm going to be performing next, or you just want to have a good old-fashioned conversation about interesting things, go ahead and hit me up on Twitter. That's at Josh Evans Go. That's where all the magic happens. And I will see you guys next time. Happy listening.